What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back. This is the Deep Corner, episode 34. I'm Rob St. Clair, and a very special guest from a few miles away from me in Chicago, from the Chicago Iceman, Mr. Brandon Poindexter. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here. I've watched all the episodes, so excited to definitely have my chance to get on the show and talk some volleyball.
Thanks, man. Been a long time coming. We were just talking before this. Like, it seems like the July 4th event that we got to play was forever ago. It was already like over a month ago by now. But certainly somewhat still fresh in my mind. Hopefully yours too, and a lot of the people watching have seen and remembered the matches and remembered how much of a stud you were on the weekend. So we got a lot to get into there. But first of all, what's the last month been like? Kind of riding the high of a volleyball weekend, and now you don't really know what to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah, it's been a good few weeks. Definitely watching all the footage you guys have been putting out, which has been awesome. All the replays and all the highlight videos. I'm definitely not used to watching myself on VR on YouTube, so it's been nice to kind of go back and reflect. And you know, the event was so much fun, and kind of get to relive it, even though you know, can't really play as much anymore now. But yeah, going back and watching all the content has been kind of how I've been spending a lot of my free time. And it's like almost like film study, even though you know, we don't really have anything coming up. But a lot of just watching volleyball and just trying to stay in shape in the last few weeks for sure.
Yeah, it's about all you can do. It's cool. I've been doing the same, honestly, like rewatching a lot of the matches. It's just fun. They're just fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice. I mean, we had some really good battles, I think, you kind of, when you're in the heat of it, you kind of don't realize that, you know, it's a championship game or it's a game five. You kind of just, you're worried about the next point. So to kind of go back and see it from like a spectator, you're like, wow, like these were like some pressure moments that you kind of got to play through. So it's been fun to definitely go back and relive it.
Cool. Well, yeah, we'll get into that whole weekend a lot about that, but I want to start with just kind of getting the people to know you a little bit better. And if anyone was tuning into the matches, they might have heard me talk about how you're from the East Coast. You're from Cambridge in Massachusetts, like nearby Boston, right? And I don't know very much about the volleyball scene in that part of the Northeast. So tell us about when you kind of got into the game, and then you went to go play club at BC. I want to hear about what that was kind of like too.
For sure. Yeah. So I got started playing in high school. You know, boys volleyball wasn't as big on the East Coast, especially in my area. But my coach did a really good job of kind of getting us involved, you know, in practice. Obviously we played against schools in our league, but you know, she was taking us to tournaments. You know, a lot of us got involved in club teams, and that kind of was kind of where I got the kind of first kind of love for the game. Just from there, you know, the volleyball community in the East Coast isn't that big, but it's a tight knit family. So I still keep in touch with a lot of the folks that I played with back home. And, you know, after high school, I wasn't really looking to play D1 or 2 or 3 or anything like that. And then just ended up getting into BC and just said, I'll go there, get the education, and, you know, to find out they had a good club team, which was, like, I didn't know anything about going into it. I didn't know club volleyball was a thing. I mean, I'd only been playing for a few years, and then going to BC and playing for a good club team, we were really successful. It was a lot of fun to play with those guys, and to do that all 4 years was nice. I feel like that was really where I like grew into the player I am now.
Yeah.
You know, obviously being 18 years old, going into college and growing up a little bit and kind of figuring things out. Just the club atmosphere was awesome. It was, again, really high level. From there, you know, I did play a lot after college in the area, playing in like local, the league is called Yankee, but playing in a lot of those local tournaments. And then, I moved to Chicago 4 years ago now.
And the rest is kind of history. Yeah.
The rest is history. You kind of just hit the ground running once I moved out here.
Yeah. Well, I'm a part of the Chicago kind of volleyball world too. I know that community a lot better than I know it on the East Coast. But another thing that I share with you there is the college club thing. I did it too. It was a couple years after you, obviously, but kind of a similar story. Like when I went in, like I knew college club volleyball kind of existed as I was looking at schools, but when I went to Purdue, I had no idea. Like, you know, like, are these guys any good? Like, what is a tournament even like? Like, what's practice like? Like, what am I getting myself into right now? Like you just show up at the first tournament, like, whoa, there's some real players at this level. Like this,
some ballers, man. There's some ballers for sure.
Like this is real. Like this is legit. And I don't know about you guys, but we didn't have a coach when I was playing club in college. And even still, I thought I was one, and there were several other players that got better in college club even without a coach. Did you guys have a coach at BC?
two out of the 4 years we had a coach my freshman year, there were the two coaches we did have were players that had played previously.
Gotcha.
And, I think my junior year, we had a player coach who was a grad student. He's actually from the Illinois area, Sean O'Malley. Yeah, went to law school at BC and ended up playing on our club team and coaching us. And then my senior year, we had another prior player coach as well. So never really an official like volleyball coach, as in like someone that wants to do it full time, but I was either a student or a former player.
Yeah, I think that's really cool about the club level is you can, I've talked about this on the show with a few other guys that have played college club, is I think it's cool that you can kind of make it whatever you want it to be. Like you as your group that's playing there at the time, you can, kind of take a lot more ownership of it and make it what you want. And if you happen to have some talent, then you can really go places at the club level, and the opportunity is there for them now. And I think kids coming out of high school are starting to notice that it's an option a little bit more than when you came out and when I came out. And I think that's really cool.
For sure. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know, I've seen just like social media posts from like what club sports is now. You see how much it's grown. And, like you mentioned, taking ownership of the program. That was definitely my favorite part about doing it, was you kind of make it your own thing, and it really brings the team together.
Yeah, I totally agree. So as a player, more specifically, first of all, were you always a middle? This is always a question because a lot of times people get stuck there, and then sometimes they never get to leave. That happened to me.
Pretty much. I actually played a little bit of opposite in high school because I just wasn't a good blocker, and we had people that were shorter than me that were better blockers. I mean, granted, I just started playing, after that, I kind of just had always been a middle. I mean, I enjoy it. I feel like, obviously, as a middle, you don't really get a lot of the shine and the hoorah plays, but a good, consistent middle is hard to come by, so I try to really own that role, and, as long as it keeps me in, playing at a high level, I'll keep, holding it down in the middle if I need to, so.
Well, you're right about that. Everybody who plays at the highest levels, appreciates a middle that is good. There's so many, intangible and not so noticeable things about that are a huge deal, and it is kind of nice, and I always have a soft spot for middles when they do cool stuff, and then when they get recognized, like you, for an all-tournament award at the tournament, that's very well deserved. So when did you become clearly the big guy around? You're 6'9". Yeah.
6'9", yeah.
When did you grow?
Yeah, I've always been tall. I mean, I think I hit my growth spurt. I was a late bloomer, so I think I hit it, probably early freshman year of college is when I reached 6'9". And then I started to fill into my body, after that. I really didn't lift weights in college. My friends will tell you that I was a pretty skinny kid back at pictures. But I think I've always been just kind of tall and lanky. And then once I actually got out of BC, I was working full time, started working out more, started playing more volleyball, and was still playing at a high level. And then that's when I started seeing the translation from taking care of your body to playing. And I was always dealing with knee pains and shoulders and elbows, but when I started actually working out and taking this stuff seriously, it went away, which usually doesn't happen when you're getting older.
That's true.
Once I kind of found discovered that, it was just kind of all take care of my body as best as I can.
Talk about it a little more. That's something that I haven't really scratched the surface on that much on the show, is volleyball fitness. I played college club too. I never went through a fitness program or anything. I never had a trainer like some of the D1 guys did. And you mentioned injury prevention is a huge deal, but just in terms of getting bigger, stronger, faster, how do you approach that as it specifically relates to volleyball? What can you work on in the gym or with the weights that you can see or feel translate to your volleyball game?
For sure. Well, definitely, squatting was obviously huge for me. Being a taller guy, I kind of had to work at it a lot more, making sure I wasn't breaking down in form or anything. Mm-hmm. And even the little things, just foam rolling, that stuff I didn't do in college. We didn't have, trainers with us. We didn't have people on staff to kind of help us take care of our bodies. So it's kind of up to us, which when you're a college student was the last
thing. Exactly.
Once I'm doing the progressions of not doing that, and I'm playing these 2 day tournaments and I can't walk the next Monday or Tuesday, you're miserable. So that's when you really start looking into, obviously hydrating, eating good foods, foam rolling, stretching, all that stuff. So that stuff has been a savior for me in terms of just prolonging my career as much as possible. Even now I can pretty much play a couple of days without putting on a brace or anything. And that's just from like all trying to like maintain and maintenance and, you know, not being stupid and running around after playing in tournaments and, you know, doing things like that. But yeah, the physical part of it, you know, I love playing the game and I want to keep enjoying it, and playing hurt isn't fun. So I'm just trying to, you know, avoid that, you know, by any means necessary.
That simple. Yeah, you put in the work so that you can even just keep playing the game. Sometimes that's as easy as it is.
Exactly.
So before we talk about the whole Iceman weekend, I want to get you through this set of like rapid fire questions that I put people through a lot. So just give me the first quick thing that comes to your head when I ask you these. Ready?
Yep.
Awesome. All right. Early mornings or late nights?
Early mornings.
Dude, I've had so many people say that lately. That blows my mind.
Really? Good morning person.
Wow. Best pregame like warm-up song or artist?
Probably something by like Drake or something. You know, it's one of his hits. Something easy just to, you know, get me going.
Sure. Best day of the week?
Friday.
Stuff block or service ace? This is an interesting one for you. Yeah. you probably get a few more blocks than aces in your play style.
Yep.
What's the hardest position in volleyball?
I think outside.
Really? Okay, good answer. They just have to do everything?
You got to go all the way around, pass, serve. I mean, after everything. So, yeah, outside.
Yeah, I don't disagree. What's the best post-game meal?
AAA.
Oh, good one. Oh, man. What's your favorite jersey number?
5.
Oh, cool. Cats. Me too, dude. You're the first one. Yes.
I know if my friends are watching this, they're gonna be like, "Yeah, I grew up with cats."
Oh, that's great. Yeah, you're the first one to say cats. I've been waiting for it. That makes me so happy. What's your favorite sports team in any sport? And I think I answered this already.
Patriots.
Yep. Sure enough. Who's your favorite in any sport?
Tom Brady.
That's good. Gonna be different this year, huh?
Well, LeBron James is the closest.
Nice. Okay, good one. If you had a superpower, what would it be?
Flying.
Nice. I mean, you're pretty close already. Let's be serious. What sport are you the best at other than volleyball?
Basketball, I guess.
Did you play in high school? Like, were you one of the kids, or was it not so formal?
No, I didn't play in high school. I played pretty much all throughout my childhood getting up until high school, but I wasn't good enough to make my high school team like my freshman or sophomore year. And by my time I like was, you know, taller enough to like really be good at it, we just didn't have the heart for it anymore. But I definitely in the sport all the time.
Well, your coaches, if they saw you now, they would regret not investing a little more.
I've seen them and they they're not happy about it.
Yeah, I believe it. Beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Nice. Favorite color? Mine too. And what's stronger for you, loving winning or hating losing?
Oh, hating losing.
Yeah?
I'm a bad person to be around. Like, I try not to show it, but I'm very bad. If we lose a game where I know we should win, I'm just not a person. I can't just shrug it off. Yeah, it's bad.
Well, fortunately, when you guys walked away from the Classic weekend, you had nothing to be upset about because you guys walked away with the W. That helped. So let's get into that a little bit. The first match of the weekend was really interesting to me because you and I talked about it after, I remember, but it was like a 5-set crazy barn burner with LVC. And like I've already talked about with a couple of the guys who've been on since the event, like I've said that if you had asked me before who was going to be in the finals, I would have said you guys and LVC. Even though there was a lot that was unpredictable. And sure enough, there you are in like the first game. First of all, how long did it take to readjust to game speed? Because that's a huge jump after not playing for however many months it was.
To be honest, it took me until the last day.
That's really?
I really felt like I'm not second guessing everything and I'm not overthinking things. I'm kind of just reacting. The first few days, I was kind of just like, I was kind of like figuring things out mentally. And then I felt like my mind was moving faster than my body. Mm. And it was just like, again, you start second guessing, especially like as a blocker, when you got to get to the pins, you can't really, overthink things. You got to just kind of go with the flow of the game. And it definitely took me till that last day to really feel like, I'm just playing volleyball. It's something you've been doing for the past, 10 years. It's, it's nothing new. And I think a lot of that was also just like that excitement of playing again. I remember like driving out there, I was just so happy to like be playing some form of organized volleyball that I might have like hyped myself up a little too much, those first couple of days, and then kind of ease into it after.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear you talk about that. How like the process of getting back into it. Break that down a little bit more, because like I've played middle at a level not as high as you, but I've had some middles on the show, and I'm fascinated to hear them pick their brains about blocking, because I think that if there's one skill in the game that's the hardest thing to do at the highest level, it's blocking as a middle against a perfect pass. I think it's just so hard, and there's so much mindfulness and thoughtfulness and thinking and quick reaction time and reading of situations that goes into that. So I've talked with some guys about what goes into that, but I want to hear from you what was like more specifically catching up to game speed. Like what was the kind of sequence of remembering what to look for or how to react or whatever? Break that down a little bit more.
Yeah, I think for me, I think that with blocking, I was just so worried about not messing up that I wasn't thinking about the play in front of me. I wasn't thinking about the hitters across. I wasn't thinking about the scenario. I was just more worried about, please, like, don't get wrong. Don't miss a block. Push over. And when I was doing that, I just wasn't really, you know, I wasn't really paying attention to the scenario. Like, if you know that there's a, you know, it's a game point, there's a strong hitter on one side, I need to know that, you know, I can take my chances going over there. I need to know, you know, where the defense is behind me. And that's just the stuff that, you know, when you don't play frequently, you just kind of tend to forget, or you're not thinking about it as much. So for me, just being aware of the scenario that you're in at that moment, it was try to really, you know, take into account, and you're not just, you know, looking at, you know, this, you know, where the pass or the set's going. Just think about the whole scenario, think about the game, think about kind of where everyone is at the court at that time. And it really helps you paint a better picture for like what to expect out of the other team's offense. So that was really it for me. And yeah, I think another thing that helps was you have players like, you know, Josiah behind you. He's a very vocal player, very smart, high IQ player. He's always in my ear. Tim's obviously always in my ear. You know, Dave too, the other middles are always kind of talking to me, letting me know kind of the scenario and the situation. So that helped a lot too. But for as a blocker, a lot of it's mental. You don't want to overthink. You don't want to get in your own head. Kind of just focus on, you know, the play in front of you.
Yeah, that's a great breakdown. And once you get over the mental hurdles, then you described it as your mind was kind of ahead of your body. And you also talked about, like you and I talked about, like when you're a big guy like you are, blocking fundamentals are actually really challenging at that point. Like, sometimes you're up further than you are over, and you get beat underneath your armpits or whatever. It like rolls down your chest if you don't penetrate fast enough. There's so much like very, very fine mechanical stuff about blocking to pins, which I don't know. You described it as you struck one, and then the rest of the tournament, it was like transformationally different. You personally, it was amazing how like much more mechanically sound your block touches became. So was it as simple as your body just figuring it out again, remembering how to get back up game speed, or were you like thinking about it a little specifically than that?
Thinking about it a little more specifically and just talking to my teammates, and I got to give them a lot of credit. You know, I always tell them, like, even if you tell me something 10 times, tell me 11. Like, just keep stay in my ear, because, you know, when the game's going on, you know, it's just a fast-paced game. Just, you know, keep it, stay in my ear after every point. You know, I I'm a high-energy player, so, like, sometimes I just want to get out there and just kind of just like run around and just like play volleyball without really kind of being strategic about it. And I think that also plays into the fact that, you know, not having played in 5 months, you're just like so happy out there. But yeah, I think the teammates stay in my ear, and then again, just, you know, I'm always looking for criticism. You know, there's no, you know, if they make me better, I'm never going to say no to a teammate, you know, saying, hey, you should try this, or hey, work on that. You know, they're not telling me that because they want me to perform worse. They're telling me that because they see a potential, they can see an improvement for that. And then I can improve, I help the team win. And you know, I've already talked about how much I hate losing. So I'll do it to win. And so that really,
that's the characteristic of a really good team. And you talked about how you're a high energy player and the award. And I can't remember what match it was. It might've been, I think you guys beat Phoenix in Phoenix on day two. And you talked about how being a high energy player is just a part of you, of who you are as a player. And it's, I think, being in the middle position is an interesting spot to have a super high energy guy, because you go in there, there's only so much you can do to touch the ball, because like hitting wise, you're dependent on the pass and like the whole thing that everyone knows about middles. But then you also go off onto the bench for half the rotations. So how do you might just be used to it by now, but does the amount of energy or the variety of energy change between when you're on the court and when you're off the court, even if like you're like in the starting lineup, you're just going in and out, or do you think about it even, or is it just kind of second nature to just be an energy guy?
I'm definitely more vocal when I'm out, when I'm down. to really, like, I like to see my, you know, teammates play well. And, you know, if they give me something to celebrate, I'm going to be the last person in the gym. When I'm on the ground, I feel a little quieter. You know, I get a block, I'm going to let the gym
back. That's right.
But usually I'm a little more reserved, of course, because I get data plays until, like, I'm always kind of, I think I get to my own head a lot in terms of what's going on. So I'm always kind of like thinking about, you know, what's going on, so I'm asked. But when I'm on, I'm definitely, you know, letting teams know that, you know, a whole lot of let's goes, you know, a lot of words I probably can't say, but trying to get, you know, the teammates, you know, fired up. And, you know, it's one of my favorite things about playing the sport.
Yeah, it's such a team game. It's something that I love about volleyball is that sometimes it's even fun being on the bench. That's one of the very things I love about playing middle. Some of the time is when I would come out, I didn't have to focus on much. I had to focus on, like, watching my team succeed.
And I agree. You should, if on some of the games, if, you know, if it's a good play and I'm not on the gym, you can definitely see, like, one of my arms, like, in the frame, just like, or doing something just too happy, but.
Yeah, yeah, that's worth going back and rewatching. We should cut a highlight reel of Brandon's sideline celebrations.
It'd be funny.
So the whole tournament goes by, and the format was really interesting because there's only four teams there. You're gonna play all three of them at least once, but then once you get to the playoffs, you're gonna see teams that you've already seen. And so there's some learning that your team can do, like learning about the other teams in addition to just getting back into the sport after not playing for several months. It's just really fascinating at a lot of different levels. And the one that I'm really interested in, well, there are two. There's LVC from day one to day three, but I want to talk about first the Phoenix one, because you guys played Phoenix on day two. And the way that the standings, like the you know, the round robin pool worked out, was we knew that regardless of the outcome of that match, you were going to play them again the next day. So, like, winner or loser, it really didn't affect that much as far as the standings went. So when you're in a situation like that, and you know it's not like win or go home or anything like that, even a loss doesn't affect your standing in the pool, but you still have a team in front of you that can learn from your match, what is your personal approach to that?
I think a lot of the guys on our team, or all the guys on our team, are just really competitive. Even I remember having those discussions before that first Phoenix game and saying, you know, hey, we're going to play them again, but, you know, let's show them what they got to deal with, you know, these next two games. It's kind of just like, definitely wanted to avoid playing them and then having a worse point in the second game. But I think our mindset was just like, let's take your business. You know, there's only 14 here, so let's make a match count. There's not really even a game that, you know, might not affect standings, but, you know, we only have so many matches this weekend, so let's make most of them. I think having, you know, some guys that we did a job of splitting time, everybody, so getting other guys reps in too. We want to make the most of everyone's reps out there as well. So we don't want to, like, you know, put out, you know, we're not going to put out, like, a second string team or anything like that. We want to make sure that each lineup we put out has, you know, players that we are confident in. You know, if it's a match where someone's up and they might be down next one, you know, we don't want to, and it's just not how we want to run the team. I think someone will tell you we're competitive group of guys, and again, none of us like losing, so we're going to try to avoid that by any necessary.
Yeah, and I might have talked about that because I was really impressed with how a lot of the teams across the week, but you guys in particular, managed the depth that you have and got guys in. And you're right, it was never just a straight-up second-string team. It was always a team that was competitive, and Tim did a good job of thinking everything out and maximizing the guys and their connections and the chemistry and the matches at the right times, which was really cool to see. And yeah, like, it doesn't matter how much it matters. Once you get there, once you start playing, you want it.
You want to make it worth it. So yeah, I totally agree.
And so you guys did that, and you beat Phoenix on that Saturday, and then you played them again on Sunday. And man, were you guys starting to play some seriously good volleyball. It was even as good as the games on Friday were, the level of volleyball on Sunday was infinitely higher. It was amazing to see the teams shake off the rust and just increase their levels. And you guys in particular were really just starting to click. You guys were really starting to fire. So just think back about a month and Sunday morning, maybe you were court, maybe you were on the bench. Was there a point when you thought, like, man, we really got something going here?
Yeah, I think we all had a sense that we're going to get better as the weekend went along. Like, we had, like, you know, some gym time in before the weekend, but, you know, as the weekend was going on and we were having success, I think we also were starting to have more fun too. We shaking off the rust, starting to gel more, we're playing better. So I think, you know, we saw an opportunity where if we know how we know to play, we're going to come home with this thing. I think that kind of spark was kind of all we needed. And once we kind of knew, I mean, we were always confident, but I think that once we kind of woke up that Sunday, we were like, hey, last day, you know, let's make this weekend worth it. And this has been a good weekend, but, you know, we want it to mean something. You don't know where we're going to get to play again. So
true.
That was kind of my big motivator, was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play indoor for another 5 or 6 months. So I really want to make this final day kind of the best I can. I think it's kind of the whole team, kind of take advantage of the moment.
Well, you guys did that, and it was pretty convincing. The semifinals was very convincing. You guys were so physical. You got so many quality block touches, not even just stuff blocks, but block touches that turned Diggs into transitionable offense. You got really involved with the offense, especially Saturday and Sunday. You're up big, you're hitting those shots. That was really cool to see. I was watching a highlight play of yours that was posted on YouTube recently, which everyone should go back and watch all of them, where it was against LVC in the finals, and you made a great read on a 31, and you're like, what set up? I want to ask about why you made that read and what set that up, because something that I noticed had to have been talked about with you guys was you saw Cody Kessel on the LVC side. You know he's like has been part of their offense as he is. You also know he's a very, very good passer, but what you guys were doing is serving him short. You guys made him work really, really hard to be a part of the passing pattern and also the offense. And on that play that you got that, you made that read and blocked that ball, Cody had to come in and pass the ball short. Was that kind of the formula for you being able to get that read? Was it talked up beforehand?
Definitely was talked about. They were definitely telling me, hey, just watch the middle feed, just follow him. You know, if it's a 31, he's around those, just grab him, you'll be your charms. And I didn't mention the serving. I think Dave Irvin, that point, he had been killing it with the serve. He might not have been, but if he was doing a really good job serving, take up speed, was doing hard, and stood up with the kind of off speed, which was working like flawlessly. So that helped a lot too. Obviously, the, you know, a blocker's best friend is good serving, and
that's,
you know,
right.
Pass. It makes my job so much easier. And I think it's a combination of that. And just, again, the teammates talking to me, letting me know, hey, if you want to start at 31, once they would center, square up, just hit, and it kind of worked out the way we wanted it to.
Yeah, that was a great, great play. It's a good display of high ball IQ as a whole team. You guys,
yeah,
you know, found a thing to take one of LVC's strengths away. And even, like, I remember there's a play later when Kessel got served short on the right side again, and I'm like, oh, there's no way he's going to set this ball. And then sure enough, he gets set that ball, and he turned it. because he's amazing. But, you took a very good player, and you made him work just a little bit harder. And that one play that we're talking about, he had to come up and take a serve short. And I think it was a perfect pass, I'm pretty sure. It was an in-system 31, but it made your job just a little bit easier as a blocker. You were all over it. And you said a blocker's best friend is good serving, so that helped to do that.
Yeah, definitely a lot of information. I was pretty bad at that one. I was in the game, you know. Best, so.
Oh yeah, in the interview that I did with you, like after the match on that Saturday, you said that you like blocking more than you like hitting.
For sure.
Why is that? That's so interesting.
I don't know. I feel like you hit so much with like hitting lines and practicing. Like you just, everyone's always swinging the ball, and like you get to a point where it's like not hard. Like,
speak for yourself, man.
It's about when you roof someone. There's not any better feeling. It's just kind of feeling like, kind of stay whole air out of the gym. You get a good block, and you know, same amount of points to kill. So. I've always enjoyed doing that more. Maybe I don't do it as much. I enjoy it more.
It feels a little more hard to earn too, because we've already talked about how hard walking in the middle is.
Yeah, you got to definitely earn your roof as a miss. So definitely, I think it gets so much enjoyment out of getting one. So
yeah, you said all points are worth the same, but in a game like volleyball, is so dominated by momentum. There isn't much more of a momentum shifting play than a straight down stuff block.
Yeah, it's that can change the tide of any game. I think that could be down 5 or 10. You get a roof, you automatically feel like you're back in it. It's definitely a morale booster. And really want to get a band crazy, definitely just watch blocking highlights.
Well, we've got a few of those coming out already, coming out soon, and I love watching. Man, they're awesome. Nothing beats a good stuff block compilation video. So, we ended with a huge championship win, and I want to ask in particular about championship point. You're 24-23, and Ben Hancock, backup center, comes in on the bench, and a flip serve ace to win the ship. Like, were you on the best run at that time? I don't
know. Yeah, he came for me.
He did.
Yeah, he came for me. And I was like, sure, you can, you know, obviously I wouldn't mind, but, you know, if I'm going to be a passing liability, he'll stand in there. And he's a really good player in his own right. But, yeah, you know, I think there's something for me about, you know, you have this hard battle, and then it went on an ace float. It's just like, he's kind of super like the gym. Or last, he did it over. It was like a roof ended. It was like, you know, did it, mission accomplished.
Oh yeah, I kind of loved it. It was doing the right things, and you have been being prepared, hitting a good serve. I was talking about the value of the serve. It's not hard to keep, but it works really well. So
yeah,
got him on the 5-5, and like that's it. That's a championship.
Yeah, that was game.
That's it. So you walk away with an all tournament award, and well, really deserved. Like I said, watching you from Friday to Sunday was really cool, and it's hard. It's something I like to ask middles, just about their kind of philosophy about playing the position. It's hard in your middle, like you already kind of said, to be noticed, to have like a noticeable impact on the game from maybe someone watching at home. But that doesn't change. It doesn't change your effort. It doesn't change your approach to contributing and being a good teammate. But what does it mean for you to now have an all tournament award to kind of give recognition to a lot of the effort that you put in?
It definitely feels good. Yeah, you know, again, I'm not the competition we're going to have, you know, 15, 17 kills a match,
yeah.
And have all those aces or digging or anything like that. But I think just goes to show that, you know, everyone has their role. You know, the way sports up, the people that do their role best give their team best chance to succeed. So if me playing well and getting all tournament team means that I was playing well enough to give my team a chance to win. Didn't ask for anything else. You know, all tournament team would have been nice, but it definitely that getting that AMI tournament was, you know, everything I could ask for. But yeah, the recognition is great. Again, I'm coming from a place where we're not playing a lot of matches. I haven't played in, you know, games or watching that much of my career. Yeah. Had those kind of offering kind of opportunities. So it's definitely something that I definitely, you know, like soak in, you know, shout out fam and all that at home and all that. So it was a nice, very honor to get that award, obviously, with, you know, other players that are playing this tournament. You know, I'm playing with some amazing athletes. So to be recognized like that was definitely something I'll never forget.
Well said, man. Congratulations again. You made a great point about being like, if you play well, that's recognized, makes your team, gives you a better chance to win. That's what it's all about. And that clearly was the case. The guys walking with the weekend and Chicago Iceman are the team to beat. Whenever we ever get to play volleyball again, but the one thing I do know is that everyone's going to be coming for you guys.
Can't wait.
Yeah, whenever that is, what is that feeling like now, knowing that you're kind of sitting on top, but you've got a lot of people clawing at you?
It feels good. I mean, again, you know, I have friends with a lot of other guys and other teams, and, you know, obviously it's all good energy, good camaraderie while we're together, but obviously that we're all competitors and that competitive nature is definitely something that we all have. And you know, we're defending champs, is something that I think we're going to use fuel, you know, that for us, you know, what the team expect from us. You know, the rushes might be a little different than that we play in, but, you know, for the most part, I think we're still going to have a really, really strong team. And, you know, knowing that you're kind of defending the crown is a good feeling. You know, you've earned it. You're in the right to kind of say that. So I'm looking forward to defending it the next time we get a chance to. And, whatever
means, they're
going to get our job.
Yes, they will. And part of that, why it's so fun, is that the other teams this league are good. Other teams that are really, really good. And it doesn't make a championship like this feel like it was easy. It feels like it was earned because the teams were good. So that is, we know that is going to continue whenever it's playing next. And that's part of why we as a league are so happy with how that we win, because we show that. Guys like you and the Icemen and all the other teams, all four teams that were there, are good volleyball teams. And
a lot of ballers. Again, I think the gym had a lot of energy that weekend. Yeah, I really can't wait to get out there and pee again. I just can't wait.
Well, before you tell you, let people know they can follow along with you. You've definitely kind of, you know, jumped onto the scene, made a little bit of name for yourself playing this weekend, which is awesome. So, yeah, being on the show, make sure that people know where they can follow along with you. I have your Instagram on the screen.
For sure. Well, any fans of the league, I can follow me on Instagram. It's BrandonP428 at Instagram handle. That's kind of my main social. I'll be posting a lot of LA stuff, I'll be posting stuff, of course. And, I can basically see more of the content better now. And the videos look awesome. I've been watching a few on YouTube right before this. I've got on, so I'm pretty sure more videos for this tonight.
Well, everyone else, follow Brandon's lead. I saw on YouTube where many of you are watching this. We are continuing that. Like, there are videos coming literally every single day, and my boy Vincent Zuby deserves a lot of credit for cutting up all footage. Even if you watch all the matches we're coming out with these replays, with slow motion replays from a million different angles, they look amazing. Like, individual clips, like, compilations, the highlights, it's all dope stuff. So, stay tuned to the YouTube channel. Brandon, thanks so much for joining in. It was great to hear. More specifically for